Time Canto 3, Chapter 3, The Lord's Pastimes Out of Vrindavan. Oops. what's the text number? 15. Mito yadaisham bhavita vivado. Vilochananam Naisham Badhopaya Iyana Tonyo
Naisham Badhopaya Iyana Tonyo
Mayodhyatin Tartadate Svayam Sma
One another.
Yada.
When?
Isham.
Of them.
Bhavita.
Will take place.
Vivadaha.
Quarrel.
Madhu
Amada.
Intoxication by drinking.
Atamra
vilochananam.
Of their eyes being copper red.
Na,
not.
Isham.
Of them.
Vada
upayaha.
Means of disappearance.
Iyan.
Like this.
Ataha.
Besides this.
Anyaha.
Alternative.
Mayi.
On my.
Ujjate.
Disappearance.
Antaha
dadate.
Will disappear.
Svayam.
Themselves.
Sma.
Certainly.
When they quarrel among themselves, influenced by intoxication, with their eyes red like copper, because of drinking,
madhu,
then only will they disappear. Otherwise, it will not be possible. On my disappearance, this incident will take place. Purport, the Lord and his associates appear and disappear by the will of the Lord. They are not subjected to the laws of material nature. No one was able to kill the family of the Lord. Why wasn't anybody able to kill the family of the Lord?
What's that?
Was there under the Lord's protection?
Kind of, I suppose. Yeah, that's not what I'm looking for. It's already been stated in a previous, in three or four or five verses ago. Yes, but that's not the reason. Not wrong, but not what we're looking for. Who can remember?
No one was more powerful than them.
Well, that's why they couldn't be defeated. But why were they more powerful? Has anybody... Who's been at the Bhagavatam class for the last week? You're going home? Okay, I'll see you later.
I didn't come back.
Okay, all right. We'll see you then. Okay, because the reason is because the sons of Krishna were all endowed with the same potencies as him. So they were extremely powerful and couldn't be conquered, just as Krishna couldn't be conquered, unless it was by his desire. No one was able to kill the family of the Lord, nor was there any possibility of their natural death by the laws of nature. The only means, therefore, for their disappearance was the make show of a fight amongst themselves, as if brawling in intoxication due to drinking. That so-called fighting would also take place by the will of the Lord. Otherwise, there would be no cause for their fighting. Just as Arjuna was made to be illusioned by family affection, and thus the Bhagavad Gita was spoken, so the Yadu dynasty was made to be intoxicated by the will of the Lord and nothing more. The devotees and associates of the Lord are completely surrendered souls. Thus, they are transcendental instruments in the hands of the Lord and can be used in any way the Lord desires. The pure devotees also enjoy such pastimes of the Lord because they want to see him happy. Devotees of the Lord never assert independent individuality. On the contrary, they utilize their individuality in pursuit of the desires of the Lord. And this cooperation of the devotees with the Lord makes a perfect scene of the Lord's pastimes. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Gadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatharinam. There is a background story to this pastime. Narada Muni and other rishis were visiting Dwarka. And the sons of Krishna were feeling a little haughty. Is that right? Haughty? What does haughty mean? A bit proud. So they wanted to test the sages, the rishis. And so they dressed Samba in the guise of a girl in a sari. And they wrapped up some cloth and made it appear as if she was pregnant. And then in a mocking tone, they approached the rishis and they said, "Oh dear rishis, you know, our friend is going to have a child. Can you tell us whether it will be a boy or a girl?" Right? Of course, there wasn't any. So it's a bit rude. And by Krishna's arrangement then, one of the rishis, I can't remember who it was, not being terribly pleased by their joke, being angry by their impertinent behaviour, they startled the young Yadus, the Yadavas, by saying, this girl will give birth to a child who will destroy your whole dynasty. And then a lump of iron appeared in the, you know, in the the bundle of cloth. Or was the iron there beforehand? I think it was. It appeared there. It's a long time since I've read this story. And then big shock. They dropped the iron on the ground, and they thought, "What are we? What have we done?" Right? You know, there's a number of lessons in this. You know, we should be, you know, nature of a devotee is, first of all, not proud. Like Trinadupi Sunichina Tororivasi Hishnuna Amanana Amanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. The devotee is tolerant and humble. Not provocative and you know, unassuming. And you know, it's generally not a good idea to taunt or to make fun of the devotees or the brahmanas. It's considered to be disrespectful. So the sons of Krishna were actually being disrespectful to the sages, and that's not pleasing to Krishna also. They were misbehaving, as teenagers sometimes will do, or even adults will do it too sometimes. So and it's said that, you know, if a sage curses, then even though it may appear in the form of something inauspicious, it actually will be something, it will amount to something auspicious. We can see Narada Muni cursing the Manigriva and Nala Kuvera, the sons of Kuvera, who were also behaving inappropriately, drunk, no clothes on, playing in the river with girls, and not even aware of their situation. And so therefore they were cursed. And curse appears to be something harsh or something strong and chastisement, but in the end it turns into a boon, or certainly part of Krishna's plan. So then there was when the lump of iron was produced, it was manifest, then there was what are we going to do about this? Right. So they approached the senior Yadavas to seek advice. And the advice was given that the lump of iron should be filed down into filings and then thrown in the ocean. Right? And the last bit that was left, that was also thrown in the ocean. So, as it turns out, by Krishna's arrangement, the filings of that lump of iron washed up to this place called Prabhasakshetra, which is where the Yadavas got drunk. And as part of their fighting, they picked up rushes, reeds that were on the shore of this place. And they'd become reinforced with the iron filings. So they weren't reeds anymore, they were like iron rods. And in their drunkenness, they beat each other to death with these reeds. So in this way, that lump of iron became the cause of their destruction by Krishna's arrangement. And the lump that was left over, hunter who shot Krishna in the foot, in the heel, with an arrow, that arrowhead was fashioned from that lump of iron. I think he caught the fish, or somebody caught the fish. He got the iron, then he fashioned it into an arrow. So in this way, Krishna orchestrated his departure. Right? Nobody else could have removed the Lord from the planet. He could only do it by his own arrangement, because it's explained that when Krishna appears, he appears under the influence of his yoga maya. So his activities and his pastimes and the pastimes of his associates, when Krishna comes, he doesn't come alone. He comes with all of his entourage. And they are born before and they leave after his departure, but they all come according to his arrangement and all under the auspices or under the protection or under the arrangement of the divine energy, of the spiritual potency. Even the Lord's Dham appears. It comes. You know, it's said that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So, even Vrindavan is manifest in the material world, apparently in the material world, but actually it's the spiritual world, the spiritual realm. So, no material potency or no one endowed with material potency can remove Krishna or stop Krishna. Right? If Krishna appears to be stopped by somebody, then we can understand that ultimately that was his arrangement, that was his plan. Right? Like Mother Yashoda, she tied Krishna up. We just sang the pastimes of the Damodar Leela. And that was only because of the love and affection manifest by Yashoda Mai that Krishna could be bound. But ultimately, you know, it was according to Krishna's plan. We can see she tied him to the mortar, and then Krishna pulled the mortar between the two twin Arjuna trees, and then released Manigriva and Nalakuvera, who appeared in their demigod forms. They offered prayers to Krishna and then went back to the heavenly planets from where they'd come. And in this way, Krishna fulfilled the desire of, or the purpose of Narada Muni and the other rishis that were accompanying him when he cursed them because they were standing drunken naked. So they got the curse, but they also got the benediction of getting Krishna's association. And of course Krishna knew that. So Krishna was stopped by Mother Yashoda only because of her pure devotional attitude or mood and in the process then Krishna fulfilled the desire of another of his devotees, Narada Muni, by liberating Manigriva Nalakuvera, who stood standing as trees for so many centuries, practically speaking. they were then purified, liberated by the mercy of Krishna. All this is happening under the direction of the yoga maya, or the internal spiritual energy. Acting looks just like the material energy, but acting in the material world. But not material, purely spiritual. The activities of the devotees, our activities, should all be purely spiritual. You know, we should know the difference between activities on a bodily level and spiritual activities. Those spiritual activities are performed under the influence of the spiritual potency. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're calling out to the internal spiritual potency in the form of Srimati Radharani, Hare, and Krishna, the source of all potencies and all energies. We're calling out to them, please engage me in your service. So those activities of devotional service, when they're performed under the auspices of the spiritual master, under the guidelines of the Shastra, then those activities are not material. Something we have to understand. Our activities, when they're performed for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, under the auspices of the spiritual master and under the auspices of the Shastra and under the auspices of the sadhus or saintly persons who are guiding us, our siksha gurus, then those activities are not of the material world. They may look like it, and even to our dull, impure senses, they may not even feel like it, but they are. You know, therefore Prabhupada says we need to understand what is, you know, the confidential science of devotional service. That means knowing what is, you know, discriminating. We have to be able to discriminate. So when we see the Yadavas getting drunk and bashing themselves up, this is not an ordinary barroom, you know, brawl, right? You see, you know, in every Western movie, there's a barroom brawl. People get thrown over the counter, thrown out the window, shot up, right? Make a good movie. So, but it's not like, it appears like that. They got drunk and bashed themselves up. So the tendency may be to think, oh, what's wrong with these people? Right? To be somewhat condescending or dismissive of such behaviour. But no, we should be careful to not see or to interpret the pastimes of the Lord as being influenced by the material energy, because they're not. In fact, it's a trick to bewilder those who do have a material consciousness so that they don't understand the transcendental nature of the Lord's pastimes. It's a trick. It's actually arranged by the Lord, but then the materialist or even the Mayavadis, they'll see it and they say, oh, look, he was killed by the hunter. In other words, there's a material cause to the Lord's disappearance. But actually, there's no material cause for any of the Lord's activities. They're all performed under the protection of the divine energy. Which is why we are chanting Hare Krishna. We want our activities to be like those of the Yadavas. Of course, you know, that doesn't mean we all, you know, drink wine and bash each other up. You can't imitate the activities of the Nityasiddhas, or of the very advanced devotees. That's why Rupa Goswami says in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that even if a devotee is very, very advanced, he still behaves like a beginner, right? To set the example. Otherwise, if we try to imitate Krishna and the Yadus, it degrades us. Right? If we're to go and get drunk and get in a fight, what's going to happen? We'll just be in a bodily concept of life. But the purpose of devotional service and the test, pratyaksavagamam dhamyam, is that we understand that we're not the body. This is the first step in devotional service. Why we engage in devotional service. Why we can't be too picky and choosy about what we do, because you know our picking and choosing is based on our material concept of who we are. So we're encouraged to surrender to the order of the spiritual master, even though there may be some challenge in doing that. Not might be, there will be challenge in surrendering to the spiritual master. Sometimes we'll be asked to do things that we don't want to do. Sometimes we'll be asked to not do things that we would ordinarily like to do. This is called sharanagati. If one wants to get to the goal of surrender, then one has to surrender. Right? And you know, if you want something valuable, you have to work for it. Not that everything should be easy. How many of us, recently just walk down the street and then all of a sudden, there's $1 million just sitting in front of us? Anybody done that recently? Huh? No, if you want to make money, what do? Ordinarily. You work hard. Huh? It doesn't just plop out of the sky. But there's this kind of belief that somehow or other spiritual life will just happen to us automatically. We walk down the street and then one day, ding, we'll be self-realized. It doesn't work like that. It requires what we were discussing last night. It requires truthfulness, honesty, which translates into humility. It requires sense control, austerity. It requires cleanliness, and it requires compassion. Compassion for oneself and compassion for others. And to control the mind and control the senses means we have to perform some form of austerity. That's why we have our rules and regulations. The four rules. They enhance, if we follow the four rules and regulations, then that following of the four rules and regulations enhances our spiritual qualities. And it explains, Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam, in the 17th chapter, that in the Kali Yuga, there's too much pride, there's too much attachment for sense gratification, and there's people that are just too unregulated. And as a consequence, then, they're disturbed. Right? But a devotee who follows, chants 16 rounds, clearly, carefully, attentively chanting, right? This is what it's meant, not sniggity-ram, sniggity-ram, urdi-gurdi-gurdi, right, type rounds. Or, japa at work, or Japa driving the car, or Japa, you know, at 10 o'clock at night when we really should be sleeping. But that means rising early and taking advantage, if possible, or is recommended, at the Brahma Muhurta, when everything is very peaceful, one can... And then following these rules, then the good qualities will come out. And our ability, or our capacity, if you like, to take shelter of the spiritual energy is enhanced, is increased. That's why we follow these rules and regulations, so that we can, you know, build the devotional qualities within ourselves. Actually, we're not doing it. Ultimately, it's being done by Krishna and by the process of devotional service. But our part is to follow the recommended process. You know, the Yadavas, the Gopis, the residents of Mathura that are the Lord's associates, they don't need to follow the regulated principles like we do to become elevated devotees. They're already spontaneously attracted to serving Krishna. So they don't have to chant their rounds and, you know, follow the principles, because they're already under the influence of the spiritual energy. But we fall, you know, they're the Nitya Siddha. But we fall under the category of the Nitya Buddha. That means the eternally bound up. But the eternally bound up can actually be freed by following the process of sadhana bhakti in its various stages, up to raga bhakti, which requires pure consciousness. But to come to the pure consciousness stage, we have to start at the beginning. And that's, for us, actually not very difficult. Simple. But, well, it's a simple process, but application requires effort. Right? Sitting down and hearing 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra. What do you reckon? Easy or hard? Hard, easy. Easy, hard. Right? It's easy in the sense that if you can manage the mechanics, right, there's the external activity of chanting Hare Krishna, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You know, staying awake. First job, stay awake. Next job, chant the mantra properly. Right? Then the next job, well, combined, that means hear the mantra. Not so easy, because the mind is always wandering. Right? This problem, that problem. What did... the mind has two wings. It was described the other day by Gaura Hari. The mind has two wings. One wing is the past, the other wing is the future. Right? So we're always being carried away on these wings. What am I going to do? Oh, what happened then? Oh. Right? But we've got to focus the mind on the present and on the sound of the mantra. Then if we do that, we all know, it's why we're here, that we'll be protected by Krishna. And, you know, the first thing we will understand is, I'm not the body. Work is calling. Pratyakshavagamam dhamyam. It's the perfection of religion, because it gives direct perception of the self. And then when we get perception, when we get direct connection with the self, what happens? When you understand, or when we understand that we're not the body, what happens as a consequence?
Attachment for material thing will go immediately.
Huh?
Attachment for the material thing will go immediately.
Yeah, and what will you feel?
Joyfully performed.
Yeah, happy. You feel happy. Devotees naturally feel happy. Huh? That's the end result. If we're feeling down, then we didn't chant Hare Krishna properly. We didn't take full shelter of the name. So this is how we get the shelter of Krishna's spiritual potency. Yadavas, the gopas, the gopis, the other eternal associates of the Lord, always under the protection of the spiritual energy. That's why I said they have performed all of the jagyas. They've studied all of the Vedas. They've already performed all of the austerities to get the opportunity to associate with Krishna as a cowherd boy or as a cowherd girl. They've already performed all of the auspicious activities required. For us, that auspicious activity is the chanting of Hare Krishna. As Lord Chaitanya has descended, you know, has come to give us through the activities of the Sankirtan movement, he's given us an opportunity to enter into these pastimes of Radha and Krishna. As I mentioned the other day, this is it's a bonus package, 2-for-1. You get entrance into the Sankirtan, the Navadvipa pastimes of the Lord, and you get entrance also into the Krishna Leela. By taking shelter of, and that's why we follow the four regulated principles, so that the qualities of goodness will naturally arise within our character and in our behaviour. And our ability to take shelter, you know, the finer qualities of the person will be nourished and nurtured, such that when we chant Hare Krishna, which means, you know, we make the time, we create the place and the space where we can connect with Krishna in the form of his name. And then when we do that, it all enhances itself and increases itself, so that we become then more receptive to Krishna's mercy, Krishna's working through us. And then we'll automatically embrace the austerities, knowing that, okay, yes, there's a challenge, but this is good for me. It's increasing my natural qualities that exist in a devotee. And we want to then serve Krishna. Like Prabhupada says here, this is very interesting. The pure devotees also enjoy such pastimes of the Lord because they want to see him happy. Right? Krishna is actually happy that the Yadavas are getting drunk and bashing themselves up. Right? So they do it, you know, they're engaging in these activities enthusiastically, which is totally bewildering for the materialistic people. They're going to be totally bewildered by that. What's going on here? But they're doing it because that was Krishna's arrangement for them to leave the material world. Devotees of the Lord, now how's this for a statement? Devotees of the Lord never assert independent individuality. That's a pretty heavy statement when you think about it. Huh? Devotees of the Lord never assert independent individuality. That means they manifest dependent individuality. Not that they don't manifest individuality, but their individuality is dependent on what? What would we say? What is the determinant for our acting as a dependent. Yes, go to the top of the class. Yeah, the desire of Krishna. Now, how many of us are working purely according to the desire of Krishna? Please raise your hands. No, I don't want to embarrass anybody. Right? Because a humble devotee will think, oh, I'm never pleasing Krishna. Right? Of course, he'll be trying. He or she will be trying. On the contrary, they utilize their individuality in pursuit of the desires of the Lord. And this cooperation of the devotees with the Lord makes a perfect scene of the Lord's pastimes. So as I was mentioning the other day, you know, our activities are an extension of the Sankirtan pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. They're not mundane activities. And they're done after consultation, after being guided by Krishna. We've all been guided by Krishna to come to the temple. Right? How else do we get here? Mata smriti jnanam apavanam cha. Krishna reminded us, you're a servant of mine. You should go and associate with the devotees. You've forgotten who you are. Just what we were discussing last night. One of the problems is, most people in the world at the moment have forgotten that they've forgotten Krishna. Right? So they're hopeless. Right? Practically speaking. They're almost hopeless. But at least the devotees have forgotten that they've forgotten Krishna. Oh, sorry. They remember that they've forgotten Krishna. Some of them forget that they've forgotten Krishna sometimes. But we remembered, I've lost my relationship with Krishna, I want to get it back. Being inspired by Krishna to come into the association of the devotees. And then in that association, we get instructions. We learn from Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita. We hear from the devotees. You know, our measure of devotional action is determined by the guru, the sadhus, and shastra. This is how we learn. So we have to learn. You know, what are material activities which we engage in to a minimum, so long as it's devotional service, right? We eat. Everybody eats? Anybody here not eating? Right, we all eat. But we eat moderately in order to do our service. You're laughing, Jai Jagannath? We shouldn't make eating our service. Huh? I notice, actually, it's interesting that we all join as, you know, skinny rakes, but then after about 6 months of devotional service, we're quite well filled out. Huh? But that's okay. We're healthy. It's, you know, this whole idea that health is, you know, some slender, you know, anorexic, you know, starvation program. And you know, we all have our different body types, but generally speaking, we'll be healthy. And health means a solid build. It's good to be sensually and mentally strong is healthy. Right? Then we can chant Hare Krishna, we can go and do service. Sleeping, we need to sleep. Some will need more or less than others. It'll be an individual thing. But we need to sleep. But we do it, we take those, we understand they're ordinarily bodily activities, but done in moderation. They're actually then connected to devotional service, and so therefore those activities are actually spiritual. So we dream about Krishna when we're sleeping. Right? But we're resting the body to be able to do Krishna's service. So even what appears to be material activity can actually be spiritualized. What to speak of or not to speak of you know, the 9 items of devotional service that we should be familiar with. Hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, offering prayers, you know, and to the higher stages of devotional service. We have to become expert at the beginning stage, primary school stage, which correlates really to the Bhagavad Gita, and then when we've mastered controlling the mind and the senses and engaging them in Krishna's service, then we move to the Bhagavatam, and in the Bhagavatam we start to learn about all of the different relationships and activities and engagements that the devotees perform in relationship with the Lord. Until we come to the pastimes in Vrindavan, you know, the most intimate and confidential pastimes of Krishna, and the residence of the spiritual world, we learn of all of these things. Then in the Chaitanya, and in the Nectar of Devotion also, we learn how to exchange rasa, with Krishna and with the devotees. Then in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we learn how to put all of that into practice in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. They're modelling the practice or the demonstration of devotional service in the Sankirtan movement. This is why the Chaitanya Charitamrita is a very important book to read. Once you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you understand the purpose of ISKCON, what ISKCON is all about. And in this way, you know, we gradually elevated from the beginning stages of devotional service to the gradually up and up and up to the highest stages of self realization. Here, by pursuing the desires of the Lord, learning how to pursue the desires, finding out what the Lord's desires are. So, you know, in the Sankirtan movement, it means receiving transcendental knowledge. It means distributing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It means worshipping the deity and, you know, managing a temple. It means taking prasadam and distributing prasadam. It means understanding the pastimes of the spiritual master, the pastimes of the residents of the spiritual realm in context, and how to follow in the footsteps. It means understanding these things. So that we can take our individuality and use it rather than asserting it. You know, I'm an individual, is what people like to do. In modern, you know, I'm an individual, look at me. Right? So they do their hair in a, you know, different way, wear a different earring in their ear, buy, you know, shoes from, you know, the most sophisticated shops, or not. To make out like they're an individual. It's all just dressing of a, basically Prabhupada says, flapping dead bodies, right? So you're just decorating your body in a different way. But the real individuality comes out when we assert our individuality in serving Krishna. Then the real person comes out. The real, you know, the spiritual qualities come out automatically. Or in due course of time, when we find out what does Krishna want me to do, and then we endeavour to do that. And we do that by, we check the Shastra, we inquire from the spiritual master, and then within ISKCON we have our authorities, and they tell us, here's your service. That's Krishna's system. Prabhupada's created this system to allow all of us to do some service. In this way, we fulfill Krishna's desires. And then, as Prabhupada says, that makes a perfect scene of the Lord's pastimes. Krishna sees all of us doing our service, working cooperatively, and he's very happy with that engagement of the devotees, and so therefore he appears in various forms to enthuse and enliven us, basically. So that's our business. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Money.
Prabhu, we often say that we should not imitate the great devotees, but we should follow in their footsteps. I find there's a very fine line between imitating and following the footsteps, like a teacher teaches by example. So how, to what extent do we do what other great devotees do, and to what extent we don't do that?
Good question. We need to understand our capacity to render service so that it is two words. Ahoituki aprati hata yayatma suprasidati. Devotional service is satisfying when we do it in an unmotivated way, uninterruptedly, right? So it needs to be constant. So we need to understand our limitations and work within those limitations, and not try to act on a level that is beyond our capacity. That we're not really, you know, we don't have the adhikar to perform. So, what's an example who can think of an example? Yeah, good example. Raghunath Bhatta was able to, Raghunath Das was able to eat, you know, 6 drops of buttermilk in a day, and still do his bhajan. You know, if we only ate 6 drops of buttermilk in a day, what would happen? Sachinandan Maharaj said, "Will we be hearing stomach ragas?" Right? Stomach ragas. Right? Feed me. That's what we'd be experiencing. So, you know, the level of renunciation, even the level of realization, we should only speak, you know, Raghunath Das, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami can speak from a very high level of realization, right? And it's appropriate. We could try to just copy what they say, but we don't really understand it. And it's just imitation. We should speak from our level of realization. Right? Basic understanding of things to start with, but it'll gradually evolve and it'll develop. So the more we engage in devotional service, the more our realizations will expand. But we shouldn't try to imitate, make out like we're on the level of the Goswamis when we're not. Right? So it requires a little bit of intelligence to work out where we're at, who we are, what we're capable of doing, so that we're able to do it purely, right, for the pleasure of Krishna, and without being deviated, without being disturbed. And, you know, we might even have to be pushed to do that. It's not a bad thing. But that's our level of, you know, that's what we should be aiming for. Does that make sense? You know, Haridas Thakur was chanting, you know, X number of rounds, 190 rounds a day, right? We can't do that. That means he wasn't practically eating or sleeping either. So when he was, you know, when the Ramchandra Khan tried to disturb him, it wasn't possible. But if we try to chant 190 rounds a day, it wouldn't be very difficult to disturb us, I don't think. Anything else? It's getting a bit late. Yes, Jai Jagannath. Quick question. To bewilder the materialists. So they would think, just a bunch of materialists. Right? Died in a bra brawl. Not exactly what you would put on somebody's epitaph, right? Here lies, you know, Jai Jagannath. He died in a bra brawl. Got drunk and got in a fight. Doesn't look good on your resume, does it? So when the materialists see that, they think, oh, how can this be transcendental people? Right? How can that be? They're just drunkards. Got in a fight. So that bewilders them. They get bewildered. The Lord's pastimes are bewildering for the materialists. Huh? Look at him, he's dancing with 16,108 gopis. Or maybe it was more than that. Right? He married 16,000 wives. Right? The materialists see that and they think, what's the difference between him and us? Huh? So it's bewildering for the materialists when they see these activities of Krishna. Independence, yeah. Yep.
So where do we draw that independent thoughtfulness that Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita?
We draw that understanding from hearing the Shastra from the presentations of the devotees. This is how we understand. This is why the Bhagavatam is so important. We understand the principles of Bhagavat Vidhi and Pancharatrika Vidhi, which are our two railway tracks that keep the train running in the right direction, by studying these literatures and following their instructions, the examples. Because in those pastimes we see the Mahajana Jena Gatasa Panta, we see the behaviour of the Mahajans, and there are certain principles that are demonstrated in their behaviour, right? And certain guidelines given in the Pancharatra Pradeep. In our case, that's where we get our instructions for worshipping the deity and so forth and performing devotional activities. So we learn these things by the association of the devotees and by regularly hearing the Gita, the Bhagavatam, the Nectar of Devotion and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. For us, Prabhupada says, that's sufficient for us to understand all of these things. So we need to associate with the devotees, hear the Krishna Katha or the Bhagavat Katha, and then after hearing, what do we do? Huh? Before that, what do we do? When we hear the instructions, what do we do? Yeah, we contemplate it, we think about it. Then we put it into action. Then we pray to Krishna, please let me incorporate these principles into my life. So, first of all, hearing, then, you know, thinking, absorbing, you know, applying a principle may not be so easy, so we have to think about how to do it properly. And then we put it into practice, and then we pray, Krishna, please help me be your devotee. Okay, Kandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.